Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Russell. Welcome back. I hope you liked the last episode. What do you think about a live version of the Marketing Secret Show? And I hope you guys enjoyed it. First off, I think it brings a different energy level when I know it's live. I got to show off to all the people. I see their faces. And so hopefully you guys enjoyed that part of it. And hopefully you went to clubhousewithrussell.com and went and registered so that that way when we do the next live podcast, you can be on it. So that's the first thing. And then number two is this episode, we're actually going to share the Q&As. There's about 40 minutes of Q&A with people who are there. And so in the future, if you want me to answer your questions, like come on the show, go to clubhousewithrussell.com, register, show up on the show, and then I'll talk about a concept and we'll open the lines for Q&A. And you see some people got full out hot seats, coaching sessions during this Q&A, which is really fun. But I think the reason I want to share these with you here, because I think most of the conversations that happen, there's something that each of you could learn from this conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. And again, if you do, make sure, again, go to clubhousewithrussell.com and register. And that way you can potentially be on our next live show and get your questions answered. So with that said, we're in cute theme song. When we come back, you guys will have a chance to hear the Q&A for part two from last episode, which we talked about the real secret behind the value ladder. And you hear everybody's questions. And hopefully we'll get some gold for you in the conversations. With that said, cute theme song, and we'll see you guys soon.
So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
I don't normally do a lot of Q&A because I just always get nervous that someone's going to ask me one of those questions. And so, but we're going to do it. Jennifer's going to help me out here. We're going to bring some of you guys up to stage. So if you've actually, Jennifer, what's the process? They want to ask a question on come stage, they got feedback, or they want to talk about their value ladder or whatever. What's the process? How do we play this game?
Yes, let's do this. So this is the process, guys. There is the little hand in the bottom. I see it going up, the numbers. So make sure that if you want to ask a question or add on to this conversation and bring some value, you can actually raise your hand. We'll start bringing up five people at a time, and then we will let you ask your question. So make sure that you also invite some new people, right? We can still invite people as we're here on this call. Everybody will get a chance to listen in this awesome value. And then one more thing I want to share before we bring people up is that a reminder that this is being recorded. So this conversation is going to be recorded. And let's see, we are going to bring up a few people. As you come on here, please mute yourself and we'll unmute you one at a time. That way there is no like static in the background. Okay. All right, we got a few people that we invited on the stage. So we'll start with the first one, Stacy. Stacy is a health coach, institute founding partner. So she bootstrapped from startup to 270 amazing team members. So welcome, Stacy, to the call. We're so excited to have you here. What question do you have for Russell?
Hey, hi, Russell.
Hey,
I've been following you a long, long time, so I'm excited to finally get to talk to you.
Oh, very cool.
My question is, when you are first introducing someone into your ecosystem and you have this product suite, do you have a value ladder that you present at the beginning? Like, so just a, like real quick, ours is... we have a call center, so we're doing, you know, cold traffic to a call center, basically. I mean, you know, we have a funnel and all of that, but just in the beginning, people seem surprised that they'll be, we're a school, so they take the initial program and that there'll be graduate programs on and on. And ours are all pretty high ticket offers. We're not doing $27, like our first program is like $5,000. Mm-hmm. But still, we want them to be able to ascend. And so do you have like an ascension map and saying, hey, you're going to be here for the long term? Here's what it looks like.
Yeah, so, definitely.
That makes sense.
Good question. So a couple of things. So I'm going to answer two folks. I think one of them answers your question. One will answer probably people whose businesses may not have started at 5,000. So I'll kind of answer both ways and then we can go deeper. But so in our world, we have like so many front-end offers because I love creating front-end offers. And so we're driving traffic to front-end offers plus, you know, events and all over the place. And so what happens is someone you know, they can click on an ad and they may, first thing they may see is just our events or high end coaching, excuse me, or something like that. So whenever they do that, it goes through that initial sequence of, you know, three or four emails that are tied to that funnel. And then they're done, it drops them into a follow up funnel that starts at the very beginning of our value ladder. And so it's a 60 email sequence. And I wrote that, I sat down, I said, okay, if my mom was to come into my world, she doesn't know what a funnel is. She barely knows what Instagram is. Like, what would be the process? Like, how would I grab her hand and take her through this process? What would it look like? I said, well, the first thing I would do is I would show her this video on YouTube that I did that actually explains this concept. Then number two, I would show them her my book. And number three, I would, you know, have her listen to these three podcast episodes. Number four, and I sat down and I mapped that out, like where I would take my mom if she was coming into my world for the very first time. And so we wrote that out, and it took a long time. It was kind of a pain, but it was worth it. We wrote a 60 email sequence that takes them through all of the funnels and the videos and the podcast things in order that I think is the best strategic order for someone to go through them. And I wrote those out, put them in a sequence. And now when anyone joins my world, they may get like one or two emails about whatever the thing is that they registered for. And when it's done, it drops them to that sequence and it takes them through the path that slowly ascends them through all the core offers and training and everything we have in the most strategic order. So that's kind of the first half of it. The second side, I think you were more talking about is like when someone comes in and they pay $5,000 and you have this ascension. I used to have multiple high-end coaching programs until a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, we took down the Inner Circle. But at Funnel Hacking Live, we're kind of reopening three programs. So we have our two Common Club X, our Inner Circle, and our Category Kings. And inside of that, everyone's going to know that. Like, here's the ascension, right? If you're $0 to $1 million before you got a two Common Club award, like, this is where you live. You live in two Common Club X until you've gotten that and you've earned it. Now you move up to Inner Circle. And the Inner Circle is from $1 million to $10 million. That's where you live to get $10 million. And from there, you ascend up to a Category King. And so they see that and it's in front of them. And the more you talk about it, the more you mention it, the more people naturally want to send up. In fact, when I launched my Inner Circle, most of the marketing happened on my podcast. I would just talk about my Inner Circle members all the time. And people started messaging me like, I just want to be in the Inner Circle so bad. And they kept seeing that that was the ascension. That's where they wanted to go. And so I just talked about it all the time. I put those people on my stages. I told stories about them. Like in the books, I told about them. And I was always just talking about my Inner Circle members. And naturally, people keep seeing that. And they start wanting to, like, this is where I want to go. This is the path. This is the journey I want to go on. And so anyway, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's kind of how we structure it for people to be able to see.
You did. You just totally sparked something for me that I wasn't thinking about before. Thank you so much.
Sweet. Well, great to meet you officially. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, Stacy, for being here. Awesome. So now we're going to move on to Ryan Peterson. So Ryan is a digital marketing strategist, voice of the Entrepreneur Secrets podcast, and host of the 1% Summit. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me up. Russell, my question, which is people who are starting out, start on their value ladder. I mean, mapping it out is one thing, but where should I really focus my efforts and energy to get the most value, I guess, for myself?
So wait, say that again. Your phone broke up a little bit. So you're saying you have your value ladder, you mapped it out. Where should you be focusing on? Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly. Like, what stage of the value ladder should I be focusing on?
So show me where your business is right now. Like, how much do you have built out? Like, where's it at right now?
Yeah. So, right now I have a podcast that has, been a little difficult to, create content daily and whatnot with had a baby recently. And anyway, and then I had a summit that I launched. It was a lot of fun. But I realized I don't have a next stage of my value ladder built out yet. And I sitting back and thinking about it, I figured I should have thought out kind of the more pillars of my value ladder before I really start on the front end. And I'm assuming I was probably premature in building out the beginning of my value ladder without something more valuable towards the end, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. I know where you're coming from. So I say a couple of things. I do think it's important people to start publishing and like doing a summit or something initially, just because it gets momentum, gets you talking to people, finding your voice. Like in our coaching programs, we start with that. But then the next thing is you're saying, where do I make money, right? Like where should I focus at?
Yes.
And so it's funny because this is like always been my biggest fear with talking about a value ladder is, in fact, I remember when I wrote the .com secrets book, my first group of people that came into coaching afterwards was like, okay, Russell, so first I'm gonna write my book, then I'm gonna do my thing. Then I'm gonna, they had the whole value ladder and all the stuff they were gonna do. And I was like, wait, well, like the book's the hardest thing ever. It took me a decade to write a book. Like, don't start there. Like, you know, and that was the biggest thing, or they were trying to like, get all the things in place before they launched any of it. And what I'm a big believer in nowadays, like I try to guide as many people as possible. It's like start at the very beginning where you're again doing a summit, doing podcasting, whatever, just to get the motion, like getting into momentum. And then for me, like the thing that I think is the best, and it's gonna be different for everybody, but for me, it's like doing something at about $1,000 price point, like, and doing a webinar for it, right? Because I obviously love webinars, but like, that's where I'd focus at. Or if, I guess partially depends on the skill set of the entrepreneur, right? Like, if you think you could be good at a webinar, like that's where I would lead as my first big thing that I'm going to be spending a lot of money on, driving traffic and stuff like that. Some people are better on phone, right? If that's the case, I would start with a higher ticket offer. Some people are horrible on the phone, horrible presenters. If so, I would do more of a traditional sales funnel, you know, where it's more written copy and stuff like that, kind of depending on your skill set. But I would definitely be picking one of those. But I don't think you did out of order. I think the order is correct. I think it's starting publishing, it's doing a summit, because the summit introduces you to your Dream 100. You get to know people, you start building a little bit of a list. And now with that list, now you're able to go back and say, okay, hey guys, my webinar's starting, come register for my webinar, and you have a chance to test it against traffic who knows who you are. And the second phase is, okay, here's a lot of people I interviewed in my summit. Now it's Dream 100. Now let's do a promotion to each of their lists promoting the webinar, right? And then that starts getting the webinar better and cleaner and more efficient. And then the third step now is like, okay, I promote to my list, I promote to my Dream 100s list. Now I'm going to go out and start buying Facebook ads or buying traffic to push people to the webinar. And that's literally how, when we launched ClickFunnels, it was exactly that, right? I'd spent a lot of time building my dream, you know, building relationships with people through summits and other things. And then when ClickFunnels launched, we did a big webinar to our own list, made a bunch of money. Went to our Dream 100s list, made a bunch of money. And it wasn't until, I think we were probably a year and a half into ClickFunnels before we ever bought our first ad. And before that, it was all just focusing on those relationships we'd built through our own efforts, you know? And so I think I would probably recommend something similar for you. You've done the first two steps. If you've done a summit, you got some relationships now. Now it's like, okay, go and build, you know, your webinar or whatever that the bigger one is. And now you can leverage your list and your relationships to launch it. And then from there, you start transitioning to paid ads. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. That was invaluable.
Very cool. No worries. Thanks for hanging out.
Awesome. Ryan, thank you for being here. Now we're going to bring up Mark. Mark helps real estate agents and teams to automate processes using workflows to scale their businesses while protecting their family's time. Mark, what is your question? Welcome to the call today.
Well, first off, I just wanted to say thank you, Russell, for what you have done. Honestly, I am the product of the Value Ladder. I had zero comprehension of what you do and have done all these years until November. Mm-hmm. And I've spent the last 30 years developing software for real estate agents using what we call workflows. And it's different than funnels and stuff like that, but it has some similar, not sure where I needed to go. And whenever I saw, I forget what it was that actually started at first. There was some kind of free thing that you had. Then I got the three books. I read through the three books. I did the One Funnel Away Challenge twice. We've already signed up for Funnel Hacking Live. I want to be on the Two Comma Club by September. If not, I mean, it will be September of next year, whenever you have it. But the whole idea of the frameworks that you brought to me, I just want to say thank you.
That's awesome.
It's just been amazing what it has spurred in my mind because of what you have taught, not only the free stuff, but even the low-level price stuff. I mean, just amazing. So I would love to buy you a dinner sometime and just pick your brain. I know everybody else does too, but golly, you do not know what you have done to touch my life and the lives of my family. So just want to say thank you.
That's amazing. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Well, you got a shot. Wow, if you want to ask me any questions, pick my brain right now. We got a moment.
Well, you know, you started talking about the frameworks and stuff. That was my biggest aha, was the frameworks, was the four core pieces of, you know, four core strategies. And I've come up with details and stuff. And right now it's just content. I'm just trying to build the content. And I am failing in providing that on a regular basis, but I'm in the muck of building other content. And I started the idea of building a book, and then you made some kind of comment in a previous thing. It's like, put that off until later. It's like, okay, I'll put that off to later. But I am building the kind of the topics of that, and that'll come eventually. But man, it's just like a light bulb went off, and my energy has just gone through the roof. My wife is saying, who is this guy, Russell Brunson, because he just changed my husband, and it's just been amazing. So that's all I wanted to say. It was just thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you, man. I feel great. Thank you.
Russell, this is the part where you put the mic drop, like, you know, music thing in the background.
Oh, yeah. Which one's
that
the...
That was great.
Yeah, there's some money to change.
There we go. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark, for being
awesome.
Here.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you so much. And see you at Funnel Hacking Live. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to bring on Ms. Bates. She is a certified life coach, best-selling author, master EFT practitioner. Welcome today to this call. Let us know what you have for Russell. Any questions? Welcome.
Well, thank you. So, Russell, I love you. I know it's a crazy way to start, but I do, right? Oh my God.
That got real weird real fast.
I know. It's just amazing. It's just, you have been such an inspiration to me. I'm a solopreneur, and I'm just so grateful for everything that you've done and that you put out.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So here's my question. I'm a solopreneur, and I've been working on different leap magnets. I've been testing different things like meditations or like do's and don'ts lists. But my question is, once someone is in that funnel, right, they go through that, my desire is to have them come to me for one-on-one coaching and then to put them into a group coaching program. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what the length of my email sequence should be.
Gotcha. So walk me through what it looks like right now. So they come through a lead magnet, and from there you're selling them into a high-end thing. Is that right? That's the first.
Right.
And what's the price point of the higher-end thing?
The price point of the high-end thing, it's a 6-month, $6,000.
Okay.
So if that is something that's out of their price range, then I downsell them into a group.
Gotcha. And then what's the price on the group?
And the price on the group is $199 a month or $19.97 for the year.
Very cool. Do more people want to do the one-on-one work with you, or more do the group, or is it kind of a... Just
more split. More people want to do the one-on-one work with me. I'm starting to try to move away, because what I'm looking to do is scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which of course my time, I can do more with a group than I can with the one-on-ones.
Definitely.
So that's, I'm just trying to figure out how long I should be nurturing them.
Yeah. The reality is it's especially since those are the two core things you're selling, it's not so much like how long do I do it for? It's like, it's part of everything you're doing, right? It becomes part of your communication. Like you should be talking about it at everything, you know what I mean? For long. So it's not just like a, your 10-day or 30-day email sequence or whatever. It's just, it should be weaved into everything you're doing. So every communication, every email, every podcast, everything you're doing is always talking about these things and the people you have a chance to work with. I'd almost flip it around, because you know, you're going 6,000, because are all the sales happening on the phone right now, or are people buying just organically yet?
No, they're all happening on the phone.
Okay.
So it's all me. Like I'm doing the sales call. I'm doing everything.
Does it wear you out, or do you like it?
I'm kind of falling in love with the sales part of it.
That's cool.
So I want to get good at that before I outsource that.
Yeah. Cause I would almost flip it around a little bit where, let's just say, cause you're saying you're into, EFT as well, right? Is that what, is that the coaching is based on that or something different?
Yeah, it primarily is based on that.
Oh, very cool. So what I would do is if I was doing it, I would like make friends that are tied to specific things, right? Cause I'm assuming you're doing tapping for, there's a certain like are you focusing on anything, or is it like just kind of tapping as a whole?
Yeah. For whatever reason, my focus has lately been I'm multi-level marketing that are in the mid tier, and they're having like blocks getting to their next level. And so trauma resilience is a part of my passion. And I know that those kind of blocks show up for people.
Yeah.
So I help people power through that and then get to the next level.
Very cool. So I'd almost have something where the front end is, you know, tapping for whatever, for trauma or for whatever it is, like something that comes in there. And then the first thing I would try to sell them is the $200 a month program. It's similar to, I think that's, if you know Annie Grace, she's the alcohol experiment. If you look at her model and kind of funnel hack her, that's what she's doing. She has a webinar right now that sells, I think same price point, $200 a month, Or they can buy a year for, what is it? I think a year for $19.97 for two grand, basically, I believe is what her model is. And so that's where everyone goes through initially. And that way it takes, like, she's not talking to those people. It's all being sold through a webinar. And then, okay. And then after that's done, then those people, if they've gone through like an hour long webinar, some signed up, some didn't. But then from there, the next part of the sequence is like, hey, if you're interested in getting one-on-one help with me, go fill out this application here. And what'll happen is a couple things is that you'll start making money on a whole bunch of people who you never talk to, which is nice, right? That's the first step. And the second step is that then when you start getting people on the phone, those people are going to be way easier to close because they sat through a 90-minute webinar with you. They've seen the value and all those kind of things. Like the craziest thing is my first big coaching program, my Inner Circle, I ran that and it was a lot of work. We had, I don't know, 20 or 30 people in it at the time. And then that's about time to ClickFunnels launch. And ClickFunnels launched, and it was a 90-minute webinar selling a $1,000 product. And we started doing that like crazy. And then what was insane is that some people watched the 90-minute webinar, signed up for ClickFunnels, found my coaching page on the thank you page, and started applying. And my program went from 30 people to 100 people in like 2 months. Like it was just caught on fire because the sales call is now easy. They're like, we just watched Russell does 90 minutes. Like, we want that. I was like, okay, like, you know, and we're trying to sell them. And like, we don't, like, literally, this is my credit card. I don't need any selling. Like, just, it became so easy because the webinar had pre-framed them. And again, not everyone signed up for coaching. Tons of people bought ClickFunnels there. And then the cream of the crop rose up and they came and they were ready. And so I almost look, if you flip your model a little bit, I bet you'd have more success because first off, again, you're making money off people who you haven't talked to. And the people you do talk to are going to be more pre-framed to actually come in and buy from you.
Thank you. So the invitation initially is for the webinar, or do I still put them through, like, go through the freebie and then to the webinar and then to the group on? So let me back this up. You're saying make the offer on the webinar for the group and then an application to one-on-one coaching. So that's my offer.
Are you doing a webinar right now, or are you just, or how are you?
No, I'm not doing a webinar.
So first thing I do is whatever you're doing now, keep doing it, because you don't want that to stop. Like,
okay.
Sometimes people like take their eye off the ball. Like, keep doing that. Like, just, it's working. Don't mess with that. So that's the first thing. Okay. On the side, I would start creating a webinar specifically to sell your $200 a month program. And then you start driving traffic directly to that. And that'll become this new path. And then when that path's making more money than the other one, then I would transition everything over. But don't mess with what's working right now. Because it's working. I don't want to affect your business. But this is how I think long-term this will become something that'll be much more sustainable, more powerful for you. Does that make sense? So that's kind of how I would do it.
It does. Thank you. And I love you again.
No worries. Love you too. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye-bye.
Awesome, Ms. Beta. I'm glad that you got your question answered. Guys, just a reminder, you guys can add some people onto this call. We're still going to be here for a few more minutes. We're so excited to be here. Guys, Russell is dropping some nuggets, okay? Like, people pay thousands of dollars to get this coaching. So I'm so excited for all you guys that get a chance to ask Russell a question. So now we are going to bring Richard, is that how you pronounce your name? He's a travel advisor, key to the world travel Disney destination expert. If I messed up your name, I'm sorry, but I hope I'm saying it correctly, but it's your turn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you guys so much for having me through. You can call me Reach. Everybody can call me Reach. That's fine.
Reach.
Hey, so Russell, just want to say, Thank you. I'm currently rereading probably the third or fourth time Expert Secrets. I was in Own Your Future this past week. I was part of that, lead challenge that you had, the 5-day lead challenge. I'm like in your world, bro. So just want to say thank you.
Thanks, man. Glad to have you here.
Yeah. So my question is really, so as a, travel agent, really my value ladder is bringing leads in, educating them on like the best, we'll take Disney for instance, the best Disney vacation ever, right? Mm-hmm. They, I provide value, and then they go through their trip, and then they, then after that, it's pretty much done. So that's kind of like the result, right? If I was to say like a problem to solution. Mm-hmm. My question is for you, like, what else should I think about to really continue to bring more value? And really, I don't have like a $7 lead magnet to a $97 to a mastermind to Inner Circle, all that. How should I be thinking about my value ladder?
So right now, the top value ladder, someone goes through, is it a Disney cruise or Disney trip, or what exactly are they getting in the end?
So it doesn't matter. It could be, you know, Disney World vacation, Disney cruise. Basically, it's a vacation.
Gotcha. One thing. So my family has done a bunch of Disney vacations. We just got back a little while ago from one. And it was funny. We were joking. We did our first Disney cruise. Like when you get on the boat, there's like the dudes with the big old Disney hands or Mickey Mouse hands on. They're high-fiving you. And like you're coming on and they're giving you drinks. It's this amazing experience coming on. They're photographing you. And you get on the boat and then, you know, the boat's amazing. And then when the cruise is done, you get off and there's no one greeting you. It's like dead when you walk off. It's like they shove you out to the boat, to the buses. And you're just like, wow, like it's over. That experience just ended really bad. And it was funny because then next time we're booking a cruise, we're like the last thing I remember from Disney was this like horrible experience at the end where it just ended. And like, we're sitting by the buses waiting for our thing. And it ended on this really down note as opposed to an up note. And so, then we're like, well, should we book cruise? And we're like, well, Disney was cool, but it's kind of weird at the end. And then, so we booked with Norwegian the next time or whatever, you know? And so it's like, it's like little things like that. So like, I would be looking at, okay. Cause obviously in a business like that, like, people who do those kind of things do those things, right? Like when we did Disney, we did the VIP tours, did all kind of stuff. And like, we spent a lot of money and it's awesome. And we had a great experience. And what's crazy to me, just as a marketer, is like, when we got done, they're like, all right, we'll see ya. And I'm just like, you realize people come to Disney and pay for VIP tours, come to Disney and pay for VIP tours. I was like, why didn't somebody try to offer something right then or the next day or call us next week? Like, how was the experience? What was it like? Like, how were your, you know, like, nobody did that to me. And I was like, we probably would have, we probably still will because the experience was great. We'll probably rebook again for whenever, but they could have got us, they could have doubled their money right then on the spot where we're at the peak of emotional intensity as opposed to waiting further down the line. That'd be the first thing I'd be looking at is like, how do you capture that, right? In a way that now you can like get them booked on the next thing. And, you know, a lot of, especially again, people are paying higher and stuff. Like they travel more often. It could be every 6 months they're looking for something like that. And that becomes this huge high ticket recurring program. That'd be the first thing I would kind of think through. Do you have a process now when someone finishes that you take them through to get them to re-up for the next thing?
Yeah, I'm working on my follow-up scripts right now. The email follow-ups after they've gone through. And then, yeah, even just what you were saying, like what happens now, what happens next? They're kind of like in this, you know, like I had an amazing experience and then kind of the experience kind of dies off.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you get that back up? And cause that'd be the biggest thing is just cause now you're not going and finding a new lead, convincing them, you know, going through a process. Like it's, you've got them, you just got to get them to do it again. You know, it's, Mark Joyner, was my first mentor. And, his second book's called The Great Formula. And, inside the book, it says the secret to, you know, to successful businesses is getting your customers to take a second drink. Right. The first drink is like, you just go through all this effort from the ad to the conversion to the everything for the first drink. And then we got them. And then we like forget about it and go try to get more people to give them a drink. It's like, no, like the money in your business, which just comes back to value ladder, is like the second drink. Right. Cause that's all pure profit. You don't have to get the ad. You don't have to do the stuff. You're like, they're already sold. You just got to ask them for a second drink. And so like, it's shifting the focus to that. Cause I'm assuming you got a lot of things happening on the front end. It's just, man, how do you get the second, the third, and the fifth vacation? And then who do they know that can vacation with them, right? Like we vacation with our friends now. And so it's like, when we have a good experience, the next trip, usually we're inviting our friends. So it's like, hey, let's build a bigger trip. Like who else could you bring? You bring your family, your friends, and like crafting something with them where now that's just, you know, for you, it's just pure profit.
Yeah. And even going through expert secrets, and I don't want to take too much of the time, sorry. Just even thinking about, you know, who do I want to serve, right? I've been called to serve a certain group and I have that. I have that, you know, kind of my avatar down. And so it's just serving them. Like, you know, it's not just Disney cruises or Disney vacations. It's, hey, have you thought about an all-inclusive Cancun resort? You know, like something different, but still like an experience that they can have. And then, like you said, I think I like what you said in terms of just keep that, you know, that first drink, that second drink, that third drink. So maybe just thinking about like my email or marketing afterwards, like, you know, get, if it's a survey, if it's something, and just say, hey, like, how was it? You know, what did you like about it? Hey, did you know that this is happening and you can, you know, book this next time, you know?
Oh yeah. I think even like pre-building a trip, like my wife will get stuff sometimes in email. It's just like, or she'll see people like her friends on social media who post like these pictures from this trip. And then, yeah, she's like, oh, well, like where'd they go? And she'll call them up and find out. And then we end up going that same trip. Like even do those kind of things where it's just like, hey, here's like getting them to like share their, socially share their trip with other people. Oh. And then vice versa. It's like you coming to them like, hey, so inside of our community here, we've got this community of, I don't know, whatever you call them, our community of travelers. Right. And like, Like, here's a, you know, someone just went to Mexico, check out what they did and check out this trip. And here's four or five people of trips. Like, if you want info on any of these trips, let me know. We can connect you with the same thing, but look at these pictures from everybody. And like creating a culture like that, where everyone's kind of sharing their trips amongst each other. And then you're the one that's like booking them back and forth. And, you know, it could be really cool.
I'm actually building the Facebook group right now, and that's where I'm funneling everyone to, so that, you know, I can go live on there. I can go talk to people and just tell them like, hey, these people went on this trip, and then have them come on as a Zoom call and just talk about their trip and what they liked, and maybe nice. Inspire others to book that same trip.
Nice. Awesome, man. That's very, very cool. What a fun business.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And like I said, thank you so much for all you did for me and, you know, and just all the value you provide.
No worries. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Reesh. Thank you for being here. We're going to bring on JJ. JJ has helped celebrities, artists, big brands, and media companies create over $650 million in revenue by building relationships, my favorite thing in the world. What questions do you have for Russell, JJ?
Oh my God, it's Russell. What's up, Russell? All right. So how many questions? What's my limit? What's my limit here?
You get one.
I get one. Oh God, I got to make this good.
Don't mess it up.
Really long one, like really one short one.
We'll see. Give us the first one first. Just kidding.
All right. On a serious note. So before you hired the best community manager in the world and brought her on your team, mm-hmm. How did you build those relationships with, I mean, your company blew up. I've been watching you from the beginning. And I mean, within just a year or two, you blew up faster than almost anybody in the digital space. Mm-hmm. How did you keep those connections and build those connections and keep that community strong? I mean, you have the biggest, and I hate to say the four-letter word, cult behind you in the world when it comes to software.
Yeah.
How did you do that in your value ladder?
That's such a great question. And it's funny because Dave, I mean, Dave Woodward, you guys know, he's now the CEO of ClickFunnels, has been for last almost a year now. He does a great job. But it's funny because he'll get off call and come into me. He's like, man, Russell, you dug your well so deep. He's like, people just say yes to anything I ask them to do. And I think what people understand is that people, you know, depending on when you came into my world, when people come in, it's like you see something. You saw ClickFunnels, you saw this. But what people don't know is that I was in this game for, man, probably how many years now? 12 years before we launched ClickFunnels. And that time was like, was doing that, building relationships. In fact, I joked at the very beginning of this, like I've been doing this so long. It was before Facebook, before MySpace, like Friendster was the hot social network when I was in college, when I started this game. And Friendster did not have an ad platform. Google had an ad platform, but a year into my business, the Google slap happened and it ended. So I had a decade where we were not able to buy ads. There was nowhere to buy ads. You could buy banner ads kind of, but they didn't work that well. And so all I could do, the only way to get traffic was through relationships. And so I went to every event. I have to go to events and find out who are the people that have traffic. And this is, for me, it's hard because I'm super introverted and scared to death of people. And so what I did is I found extroverts who I liked. I said, hey, come to this event. I'll pay for you to go with it. And we go to these events. I'm like, okay, I have to meet all these people because they have traffic. Like these people have email lists and they've got a blog and they've got these different things. And I spent a decade of doing that, right? Of going and talking to people, getting to know them, building relationships, using the assets I had to help them, to promote them, to either, you know, promote their stuff or to, you know, help them with different things, whatever I could do. And so I spent a lot of time doing that. You know, I think that's what people don't understand. They think that like, oh, we came out of nowhere and just blew up. It's like, no, I spent so much time going out and building these relationships. And so when ClickFunnels came about, it was nice because it wasn't me just cold calling like, hey, you don't know who I am yet, but you should promote ClickFunnels. It was like, hey, this is Russell, you know, and we're friends. And like, this is this project I'm working on. What do you think about it? Like, what would you do if you were me? And I had the most amazing minds in the world sharing with me what they would do if it was them and giving me ideas and strategies. And then they felt like they were part of it when we launched it and rolled it out. And so, you know, I think that's a big part of it. Obviously you're tied into the relationship side of things, but, I don't think people put enough effort into that. They focus on the quick ask, the quick wins, and not like, how do I actually build a real relationship? I was telling someone, because we were last week at the Dean and Tony launch, and somebody asked me, how did you get to know Tony Robbins? How did you, you know? And I was like, well, I spent 12 years of my life serving him in any way I could before I ever asked him for anything. It was like 12 years of like, let me just help him and help him and help him. And since then, man, he's done so much to promote me in the last 3 or 4 years. Like, but it came from, you know, a decade of building a relationship. And I think you can build a relationship faster than that. Like Tony's obviously, you know, superhuman and like the hardest person on earth to get a hold of, but it comes with like leading first and like serving and how to help people and getting to know people and stuff like that. So yeah, that was, it was a lot of digging my well before we launched ClickFunnels.
Well, thank you for saying that here on the stage, because you come into some of these clubhouse rooms, you get these marketers, oh, you got to buy ads, you got to buy ads. I didn't buy ads for 10 years myself. Yeah. I mean, and you know Brad Hart. I work with Brad Hart now.
Yep.
He didn't buy ads for the first 5 years of his business.
Yep.
And built those relationships first. Thank you for saying that. But honestly, you really, I mean, I think leveled up your game by, you know, hiring a community manager. She's up on the stage.
She's amazing.
Who, you know, keeps your community, she keeps your community engaged. Love Yennefer. So throwing some love towards Yennefer. So my second question.
It's fast.
You can beat me later. What is your favorite Oreo cookie?
My favorite Oreo cookie? So actually, when Clint and I got married, they toilet papered our car when we were driving out, and they got Oreos, and they stuck them to the side of the car. But the Oreos had Pop Rocks inside the frosting. And I remember pulling it off the car, and I was like, this is disgusting, but I love Pop Rocks. And so, yeah, and I don't think I've seen Pop Rock Oreo frosting since then, but if they ever bring it back, I will be the first in line. So that'd probably be my favorite. I don't know.
Boom.
That was a good one. That was a good
one. That was
you
worth
guys
it.
Heard it. You guys heard it first. If you find it out there, go ship it to the ClickFunnels headquarters.
Or go make your own.
Russell will be happy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was so good. All right, my girl, McCall. McCall is the founder of Charisma Hacking. What question or anything you want to add?
And hold on. And she's a speaker this year's Funnel Hacking Live event.
Yes. We're going to be there. Like, I'm so excited. If you got, wait, first of all, before we get McCall to talk, guys, if you have not bought your tickets to Funnel Hacking Live, go to funnelhackinglive.com.
Yeah.
Get your tickets, and I'll see you guys there. McCall, the mic is yours.
Oh my gosh. Hi, friends. Thanks so much. I was just going to add two things that helped the value ladder really make sense for me in the last, you know, year and a half since I started this. Russell, you know, I study everything that you do. And I was, you know, the first thing that I did was read .com secrets. Something that was a little bit hard for me at the beginning that you, I mean, you teach on all these things, but it was the, you know, one product will create the problem that the next one will solve.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I thought was like, oh my gosh, I have to create those problems, and I have to create those problems for people to ascend my value ladder. You had said something, I don't remember if it was in a podcast or I just heard you speak like on a live somewhere, but you talked about the customer ascension ladder and kind of the education part of it. And it put it all into perspective for me of, you know, the way that all of a sudden I was able to shift my mind instead of being like, hey, you know, you have to create problems from the bottom up, and, you know, the problems that one will solve, it will open up a new problem to create, you know, the next product and all of that. Instead, I thought, okay, you know, the customer ascension, where do you eventually want people to go? You know, so your inner circle and your category kings and all of that, and then map out the steps that it takes to get there. And then with each program, with each step of the value ladder, it's just like, oh, what do you need to educate people on in order for them to want to join the next program, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an educational process. That helped me with like the very bottom of it, because I know that, I think it was Ryan was talking about, you know, summits and creating consistent content and all of that. When I put it into education, all of a sudden the bottom of the value ladder made so much more sense to me, because at the beginning, nobody knew what Charisma Hacking was, right? It was like, what the heck is that?
I'm inventing a new term. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And it's hard to do that, right? You know, you're in a really scary place in business where you're trying to solve a problem that people don't think that they have. And this education kind of form of this value ladder, you know, when you said that, it really helped me think like, oh, okay, the bottom of my value ladder needs to be educating on my frameworks. So, you know, the whole, my whole opt-in bottom of the value ladder, you know, what people can do with podcasts or, you know, the video content they're creating, the summits, all of those kinds of things, if they're consistently educating on their frameworks at the bottom, right, they first let people know what they're doing, right, and the problem that they're solving. And then from there, it's like, okay, now that you know what the problem is and you can, you know, accurately say, oh, I do have that problem. Wow. Then you can move them up into paid products and you can, you know, continue to educate them until they get to the highest level. But that was the thing that helped me the most, because very at cool. First with the problems, it was just hard for my brain to kind of wrap around it. And then it was like, oh, if you can accurately help somebody get through one specific step and then, you know, educate them on what they need to know in order to join the next program, then they will continue to ascend your value ladder because they will have a problem that's solved and they will have the education they need in order to address that they have a new problem. So that was something that helped me. Awesome. Guys, come to Funnel Hacking Live. You have to be there.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to add to that too is like, I think a lot of times people are so stressed, like I got to figure out all these pieces and all the things. And one thing that I noticed when I first started doing this and I've noticed other people is that a lot of times you don't know what the next thing is until you like start doing your thing, right? You start selling your product. You're like, for me, it was like funnels. I wrote the book, we created the software and all sorts of stuff. And like, that was it, right? That was the plan. And then as people started signing up and they buy the book and they buy the funnels, then it was like, the next question kept coming. It wasn't me making this up. It was like, oh, here's the question that everybody keeps asking. Like, okay, how do I solve that problem? And so the customers will bring you the problems. Like, you don't have to invent them. It's just do your thing in your best of your ability and then listen. And if you listen, then the next thing will come to you and you know exactly what to do. So
another really interesting, I'm so sorry, this will be really fast, but at the beginning, you know, I've built these frameworks for 20 years, but I didn't know what my people needed. And if you try to force what you know on people instead of what they need, then your products won't sell.
Yeah.
Right. But instead it was like exactly what you said, you know, as far as finding your voice, the same thing was, you know, I think it was Dave who just popped into this room. Hi, Dave. It's about finding your frameworks, right? So like creating your content and making sure that you're publishing on a consistent basis. It's creating these frameworks and refining them and seeing what sticks for people. And then it's not just like, well, I know this, that's what I should create a product around. It's like, no. People will listen and they will, it's exactly what you said. They will tell you that market research is so invaluable. And then in that next program, you know, if you're building it from the ground up, then you educate them, you listen to their problems and you let them ask questions and then they will reveal what that next product needs to be.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Very cool. Well, thanks, Bacall. Excited to see you again soon at Funnel Hacking Live with all of you guys here who are listening in as well, I hope. It's going to be amazing.
Awesome. Guys, make sure that you click on that little greenhouse. Make sure that you're following the Marketing Secrets Live Club. There's going to be many more, right, Russell?
Yeah, this was actually really fun. I hope. Did you enjoy it, Yennefer? That was fun.
It was amazing, obviously, listening to you, the value that you provide, and also, you know, being able to speak to our funnel hackers here that, you know, we're excited to chat with you.
Yeah. So I think the game plan, we're going to try keeping this a few times. If it sticks, then we'll keep doing it. But I actually really enjoy not just talking about a topic and pushing the podcast out. It's nice to get feedback or questions or like, again, McCall, like doubling down, like something I learned that helped me to make sense. And that was way more valuable to have that as like a, yeah, like actual application of the concept, not just the concept. So I loved it. It was fun.
Everybody.
So we'll let you guys know kind of moving forward when we'll keep doing these. But that was awesome. So thank you so much for helping facilitate it and make it all happen. Thank you guys all for listening. And we'll let you guys know when the next party is going to start. And I think, hold on, I got an outro. Should I do an outro?
Wait, before you put the outro, like do one of those money signs, money noises things.
Let's see.
Come on, you got the buttons over there.
There's a button there. We got, we're so funny.
That is amazing. All right. So we're gonna close out with this outro. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. See you guys in the next one.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Hey everybody, this is Russell again, and really quick, I just opened up a texting community, which means you can text me your questions, and right now I'm spending anywhere between 10 and 30 minutes every single day answering questions through text message to people who are on the podcast. And so I wanted you to stop everything you're doing, pull your phone out, and actually text me a message, okay? Now the phone number you need to text is 208-231-3797. Once again, it's 208-231-3797. When you text me, just say hello, and then what's going to happen is it'll add you to my phone, and then it'll send you back a message where you can add me to your phone, and then we can start having conversations. On top of that, through this texting community is where I'm going to be giving out free swag, giving away free copies of my book, let you know about book signings, about times I'm coming to your local area, and a whole bunch more. So I want to make sure you are on this list. On top of that, every single day, I'm sending out my favorite quotes, my favorite frameworks, and things you can get for free only through my texting platform. So what you need to do right now is pull out your phone and text me at area code 208-231-3797. One more time, that's 208-231-3797. I can't wait to hear from you right now.